Anyway, let's get back to how do we find someone who is realized? How do we know he's realized or not? Impossible to realize as someone who is ordinary being. Impossible to know whether he is realized being or not using direct cognition. Impossible. There's no way. So the only way to judge the person has any sort of realization or not is inferential logic. Inferential, using all kinds of reference, experience. See, now it's becoming very messy again. Because when we use inferential logic, we are using within this very small, limited capacity of so-called rationalism. We may think that we are so skeptical and so intellectual and so, you know, not easily brainwashed and all that, but small skepticism that you have is pathetic. It's really very small. In fact, all these nowadays, the many modern critics to the spiritual gurus or whatever, teachers and spiritual guru and disciple relationship, their critic is so, it's very, very small. When you become a better practitioner, actually you become a better critic. This kind of critic, modern people don't even know. So, what I'm saying is, we have a very limited system of logic, system of so-called what is rational, experience, all of these. And they are not really trustable, these kind of rational, so-called rational, logical judgment, not so trustable. Because most of our way of judging a guru is very much blended, mixed with feelings. Feeling, you know, karma, I was telling you, karmic link. Your emotion, you are not so really, not so interested in the enlightenment, or maybe not at all interested in enlightenment. Very, very much looking for a companionship. All of this makes things so difficult to really, really rationally look for a qualified master. Most of us are driven by feeling. For instance, a guru's aura. If you are a Byron Bay or a Californian or whatever, because feeling has played an important. Feeling floats around in this kind of area. Isn't it? Feeling. And also If you happen to go to places like, Kathmandu, you are searching for a spiritual master, and you have never been to Kathmandu. You are this petty renunciation mind. Remember I was telling you, renouncing Sydney and going to Nimbin, or kind of renunciation? Wanting to work, wanting to live like a capitalist and work like a socialist, kind of renunciation mind, has made you go to Kathmandu or, I don't know, somewhere, Tibet. Everything is new. All this adds up. Everything is new. Lots of stray dogs, lots of beggars. Traffic light doesn't work that much. Walk into a monastery, incense pot burning, kind of very artistically. And then this kind of innocent looking young monks going up and down. Open the door of the main hall, monks with their elaborated robes and hats and cymbals and drums and doing really exotic chants. Up there on a big throne, supported by 8 lions, of course the carved ones, sits this master wearing a hat that is definitely much more better than a baseball cap. All this adds up. All this makes you think, wow, he is my guru. You understand? Or, as I was saying earlier, a very carefully designed brochure can do the same thing. In the midst of office hours, you are stressed, you had argument with your colleagues, you are on the verge of being fired by your boss, you hop into a health food shop. There, on the notice board, you see sort of Japanese kind of brush work. You want to relax? Come here to the this and that meditation center. That works too. Feeling, the feeling is very fickle. And then you are maybe from American, like California, probably even from Australia, I don't know, feminist. And then, a Tibetan woman lama has come. You understand? Doesn't matter, the enlightenment and all of that is out of the window. Just because she's a female and you are a feminist. Feeling. I'm sure very soon there will be a gay lama, lesbian lama. Because for the lamas, especially the lamas who surrender to conventional expectation, they will do anything for the market. They will do anything. Bisexual, heterosexual, straight, grunge, punk, what do you like? I'm sure. It's just that they don't know this yet. They are still The Tibetan Lamas are still, as you can see in their centers, they're still clutching on their Ming Dynasty, Qing Dynasty, Yuan Dynasty, Tibetan sort of golden throne, you know, sort of yellow robe, you know, like silk hanging from here and there. They are still into that. Soon they will learn these things, and I will not be surprised if there is a, you know, oh, recently, you know, ex-depressed guru. Ex-depressed. Recently recovered from this and that. This thing can happen. And our feeling can fall for that. Woman lama, just because he's a female. In the clitoris and two balls has got nothing to do with her. Nothing to do with the enlightenment. Those things doesn't help. It doesn't do one good thing or bad thing. No, it's just a, it's like a leaves of the tree. You know, it grows as because it's a tree. But for people like us, feeling oriented, those things matter. And I want to correct here. It could also help though. You see, this is the problem. Okay, you are a staunch feminist, and here comes a female guru, and because of your feminist mind, you go to this guru, and who knows, maybe she is an enlightened being, she is a realized being. And through her teaching, you get enlightenment, thanks to your feminism. So there is no, I mean, I cannot say black and white. But these things happens, already happening. I can see. You read one of these Buddhist magazines, already happening. From the color, quality, and the size of the meditation cushion to all the way to what a guru can do. By the way, we are still talking about searching for the guru, okay? Just so that we don't get, what do you call it? Sidetracked? No. Take a break. For some, those who are new, if you are feeling more depressed because of these, all these critical, sort of seemingly critical remarks I'm making, you just have to get used to this. Really, Buddhism, the study of Buddhism is just that. It's a very critical approach. One after another, until there's nothing to criticize. Until every skin is peeled off. Painful. But I think it's good. Insurance. It's an insurance, spiritual insurance. So we were talking about, okay, qualified master, qualified guru, someone, definitely has to be someone who has understanding of emptiness, shunyata. But how do we know that he has that kind of realization? We can only use very limited analytical methods based on our logic, our rational system. Beyond that, we can't do anything. And that logic, that kind of rational system that we have, what I've been trying to tell you is usually stained with all kinds of expectation, fear, feelings That's what we have been talking, feelings. Trend, isn't it? Trend. What does trend mean? Trend. Fashion. Oriented by, I think it's again driven by feeling. There's a good news though. I'll tell you the good news. The four fundamental view of Buddhism will never change. Fashion will change, trend will change, feelings will change, but never one day there will be an occasion that someone will find one or two compounded things are actually permanent. That will never happen. All compounded phenomena are always going to be impermanent, has been and will always be. That will not change. And that is one fundamental teaching of the Buddha. All emotion that stems from the ego is always going to lead you to pain. Never someone will find one day emotion coming from ego actually giving you a long last, you know, forever lasting bliss. That will never happen. Never someone will find one or two phenomena actually truly existing that Buddha missed it. You know? That will never happen. Also, no one will find nirvana does have some truly existing attribute. Nirvana is beyond extremes. These four will never change. That's your insurance. This cannot change. But our rational system, logic, critical mind will change. I met some, not directly, but sort of their friend, some students, formerly students of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. This was a long time ago. And they were following some really, you know, they sort of delete the Chogyam Trungpa from their system. And that's why I was interested, because that's, I mean, Chogyam Trungpa's teachings, they are really very, very, very amazingly sort of executed. And these students, they're following some really feeling-oriented guru. So surprising, amazing. And these people are supposedly some of the very critical, you know, sort of very skeptical student. So we never know. Feeling, when the feeling comes, no matter what you think, scientist, physicist, hard-headed scientist, feeling will overthrow you overnight and you will become wishy-washy, is it? Wishy-washy, touchy-feely. all of that, cannot be trusted. So, what can we do now? How do we look for this realized being? Can't trust our feeling, can't trust our judgment, can't trust our logic.